Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is the Dale and Keith Show.
Come on, yo! Shake that thing!
Austin on send it across.
Dale Arnold.
It's never a good thing for a goalie to kind of be facing the play with your back, but luckily it stayed out.
You know, now you're going home. Stanley Cup's in the building. Someone's winning it.
Rich Keith.
Do the Bruins win that?
Yes, they win the cup.
Oh, damn!
Dale and Keith, middays.
Dunsky.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Hour number two, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. We're broadcasting live from the Kirkbrake Country Club here in Lincoln, Rhode Island. It is WEEI's 7th annual 18 Holes for a Cause. This is a huge event. There's a whole bunch of folks who went out early. They were here for breakfast at 6:30 this morning. They were out on the course early. And then there's a whole afternoon group that is getting, the carts are all lined up over here. They'll be heading out on the course for an afternoon session. This is a huge deal, and then they've got a dinner reception at 6 o'clock tonight. Staying?
Yeah, of course. Okay. Well, lunch is at 11:30, so I got that.
You're
set up for that.
You're on the air then.
Dinner is at 6, so I'm all set
for that.
Ready to go for that. And there was a couple of like open bars I've noticed outside there.
Really?
Yeah, so I'll be here for a while. I feel pretty good about it.
I have a friend who works at the Bruins. I'm friends with her on Facebook. And she wrote at 11 o'clock last night. She said, Game 7 on Wednesday, FYI.
Yeah.
I don't have tickets.
Oh, boy.
I would really appreciate the text to stop from people asking for tickets, especially if I haven't talked to you in years.
Yeah, so think about that. So that's just somebody who works there. Like, imagine what the players are going through. Like, everybody, and they sort of talked about it last night. Cassie talked about it a little bit. Some of the players did. But this is sort of like what the Patriots deal with that week leading up to the Super Bowl, or even the 2 weeks leading up to the Super Bowl, is all of a sudden you have like a second cousin that you've never heard of who's like, hey, by the way, like, you don't have tickets, do you?
I'm going to be in town Wednesday.
Hey, we're practically family. You're like, no, get out of here. So I'm sure all these people, friends and family of every member of the Bruins is trying to weasel their way into the garden on Wednesday.
The other thing I noticed, and I don't know if this was directed by Bruce Cassidy or not, but the Bruins who are on social media all got off. For the
really?
Playoffs.
Oh, LeBron does that.
Like there was this whole Brad Marchand, Tory Krug thing where they would be teasing each other back and forth on Instagram and funny gifts and all that.
Oh, yeah.
And there's been nothing.
They wiped it out.
And they both said, no, we're not doing that during the playoffs. We're just staying away from everything.
Don't shave and don't tweet. That's really the two rules of being a hockey player at playoff time.
Not necessarily in that order.
No, just don't do that. Grow a beard.
And you've got your playoff beard going. And does this mean Thursday morning we're back to clean shaving?
Clean shave like John Hamm. You see that idiot? What is he doing? Playoff beard? That's not over, guy. What are you doing? He still had that scarf on last night, which I cannot make heads or tails of.
Well, it's cold in the rink.
I'm sure it's freezing.
It was 85 outside, but it was cold in the rink.
He had a beautiful beard, though, the other night, and now, you know, playoff beard, and he decided to shave it. He looks ridiculous now. That was a huge mistake on his part. The celebrity fans are letting down the Blues. There's no other way around it.
Yeah,
they're not
great. The Bruins don't have as many celebrity
fans. They don't have any. They're all athletes. It's just other athletes in the town.
Well, no, the other day, Game 5, Michael J. Fox and Woody Harrelson were here.
Okay.
Now, Michael J. Fox has been childhood friends with Cam Neely from the time they were little kids.
Okay.
And they've been very close, and Woody is friends with them as well. So
okay, so I guess that's sort of a time.
Oh, no, Michael J. Fox has been here a lot over the years.
All right, fair enough.
The very first time. You can prepare the music.
Get the Dale's Tales ready there, Shime Time.
The very first time when Neely was a player, and we brought him into the studio to do an interview and take calls from fans. And so he's sitting there with me, and we're talking. I said, okay, let's go to the calls. And it's like, you know, so-and-so from such-and-such. And this voice says, Cam, this is Ulfie. And I'm seeing Neely's eyes get about this big, and I'm thinking, I'm going to be collateral damage. I'm going to get killed.
Yeah.
And he's, Cam, this is Ulfie. It was Michael J. Fox, who was staying at Cam Neely's house and who was calling in from Neely's house to rag on him and tease him about Ulf Samuelsson.
That's pretty good. So they're longtime friends.
Oh, I literally grew up together in Vancouver as kids.
Okay.
And they've been... So, I mean, that's a legit...
Yeah, but that's just sort of like he'd follow Cam anywhere. Like,
yes.
He's a Cam fan. He's not necessarily a Bruins fan. Whereas, like, John Hamm and Pam...
They don't know there are other rinks.
No, they're from St. Louis.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, John. Very well done. But they're the two, and they show them nonstop. Like, the whole game, they're, like, showing them. Like, all right, let's move on. What's with the intermission interviews, too?
I mean, Mike Milbury's a friend of mine and everything, but
yeah.
Woefully unprepared for this. Pam was not the party planner.
No, she wasn't. Now, she would sit in with the party planning committee, but that was definitely more
She was
more
not
of an,
the party planner, and no. That was what Mike Milbury said.
That was more much Angela, more of an Angela Phyllis. Angela.
Yes!
Yes, and they would fight about it, and they never really got along very well, but not a Pam thing. Yeah, that was not good. What is that, too? Like, so it's game six. Stanley Cup final.
Intermission. Let's not do any hockey or anything. Let's get Pam in here because we haven't seen enough of her.
It's sort of an odd decision, isn't it? I mean, they did the same thing with Draper, too, or Don Draper, John Hamm. They did it a couple games ago. And you're like, I guess, but you could also kind of break down the game, like what we've seen so far. I don't think that kills you.
This is incredible. I've been literally waiting my whole life for this.
Yeah, I guess. Not for me. And she's actually, like, one of the worst characters. Like, if you actually just look at what she did, she was, she sucked the life out of poor Jim Halpert. That was a tough relationship for him. She also convinced the entire office to get her a new chair when they really needed a printer. That was a bad episode.
The worst.
She also
brought in lice into the whole office and then blamed Meredith on it.
Yeah, she did. Although, to be fair, I would have thought it was Meredith, too, that brought those in. But, yeah, she did. So, she's... pretty bad. She's one of the worst characters. She really is. She also, when she cheated on Roy with Jim, she like convinced Roy that it was all Jim's doing. But let's face it was not all Jim's doing. She kissed him back. That's the deal. So she's a bad character.
So she should never be allowed on a Stanley Cup telecast again.
I just think it's an odd time to bring her on there.
But like, okay. Pam's job was to be the party planner on the show. How would this party be?
She should have been like, actually... why don't you watch the show?
That was not her job. Her job was to answer the phone. That was her job.
And then there was sales Pam. Don't forget sales Pam. And then there was also failed out of art school Pam. There's a whole bunch of different Pams on that show.
What was last night Pam?
Hockey
mom. No, it was hockey mom Pam.
Sad blues.
She was there with her little kids, you know, who play hockey. And she's at the rink 3-4 days a week, she said.
Yeah. So, like, who are they going to pull out in Game 7 intermission?
Here?
Yeah.
I don't know.
They'll be like, well, we can't talk hockey. We gotta scour the place for a celebrity.
Is Woody Harrelson still here? Yeah. Everybody know? Can we?
Yeah, what movie you got coming out?
They were going to go with Mark Wahlberg, but he's going to tell everybody it's the same night
Wahlbergers.
As Wahlbergers. So, unfortunately, he won't be there.
Yeah, that's a shame.
All right, let's get back to the call. 617-779-7937. Fred's in New Hampshire. Hey, Fred.
Keith, Dale, morning.
What's up, Fred?
How are you?
I'm fantastic. How about the penalty killing last night? That was the key to the game, and it all starts with Tuukka, okay? And the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, you know, our great leader says, that's fake news. Last of all, people that say Chara shouldn't be playing, maybe Halak should start on Wednesday because we don't want him to get rusty. Take care, guys.
See, Fred. All right, Fred. Thank you.
Fred's a little cynical.
No, but what he's talking about shorthanded, though, is a good point. I mean, they were so good. And part of it is I don't think the Blues...
St. Louis has one power play goal in this series, and it was the shot that was 4 feet wide, and it hit Brandon Carlo and went into the net off of him.
So part of it, I think, is their ineptitude. But one of the reasons, one of the big reasons, is how good Tuukka is and how good the penalty killers are. I thought this might have been John Moore's best game of the playoffs. I thought he was
very good.
He was out, and they used him a bunch on the penalty kill, and usually every time there's a game, we're like, ugh, like either he turns it over or he's late to the puck or something. But I thought John Moore was really good, and that's another one of those lineup decisions. And so, still no Grizzlick, by the way. That was weird that they flew him down there. Is this something that's going to be like affect him forever?
No, I don't think so. But I would say his chances of being cleared for Wednesday don't seem great.
No, and I'll
give you another guy who's there and who is desperately wanting to get back into the lineup on Wednesday is Chris Wagner.
Yeah.
He's been medically cleared. He was practicing with the team. He didn't have a red non-contact jersey on. Now the question is, if you're Bruce Cassidy, Do you do anything that messes with that fourth line right now?
I don't think I do. I keep the exact same lineup out there. I think Coleman stays in.
Yes.
I think Moore stays in. And I know Grizzlick in a vacuum is better than Moore. He's better than Clifton, like, you know, all that stuff. But based off how they just played, and also Grizzlick hasn't played in a while, and now you're just going to throw him into a game seven, like, you don't really have time to kind of get your legs back. So I think everybody that played in Game 6 is exactly who I'd play in Game 7.
The St. Louis Blues had they were 0-for-4 on the power play.
Yeah.
So 8 power play minutes, and Zdeno Chara played almost 4 of the 8. It was like 3:40-something.
Yeah, no, he was out there.
A shorthanded time.
He was. He played 3:21 shorthanded. Carlo played 4:25.
Yep.
Moore played 4:13. Nordstrom played over 4 minutes. That's the other thing. Nordstrom
is the unsung hero for this team.
He's really been good.
I mean,
he's been awesome.
Throws himself into shots. He hits guys. I mean, he has been a real unsung hero, I think, for this whole playoff run.
And the other part, too, is if you're talking about bringing Wagner back in the lineup, who would come out? Achari? And I'm not taking Achari out. Achari's throwing his weight around. He's smashing
people, guys.
And those,
and by the way, cleanly, unlike
the
Blues.
That is the big difference.
He's hitting guys cleanly. No penalties. No. Not even a question of anything. And, you know, the Blues just can't help themselves.
Yeah, no, after a win like that, and we've seen Cassidy do that before, like, he's willing to make changes after a loss, but usually after a win, depending on health, he's going to trot the same lineup back.
Mark's in Medford. Hey, Mark.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, Mark.
Okay, the point for me last night when I realized, the Bruins are not losing this game, St. Louis hits a post, McAvoy whacks at it, it ends up on Tuukka's backside for what felt like an eternity. Mm-hmm. Okay, you can actually see the puck just sitting there. Then it just falls down, and the Bruins get out of the zone with it. And also, you know, if Bruce Cassidy doesn't get Coach of the Year, then this is a serious problem in the NHL.
He's not going to, because the playoffs don't count.
Yeah, it's a regular season.
I know. But one more thing, and you guys touched on it earlier, and I like to hear you get into it a little more. What is the deal with Binnington? I mean, he's got like multiple personalities. This kid, he's not going to last too long in the NHL if he keeps that crap up.
Well, goalies are screwy. They're an odd bunch.
I don't know. Tuukka's, I mean, he back in the day, he was a wild man.
Yeah.
Now
he's more straight.
He's like so zen-like.
Yeah.
And,
again, which may be screwy.
Like, or maybe it is unusual.
They're a little bit different.
Like, and Martin Brodeur was like the most chill.
Yeah.
You know, he was very competitive. I don't mean that, but he was like a normal goalie.
But you have to be like almost like a baseball closer, right? Like in the sense that you can have a bad night, but you can't just dwell on it or you're done. Yeah, Binnington's a weird one because it took him a little while to finally get a real crack in the NHL, and then this season he was great. He played 32 regular season games, best goals against, and then obviously has helped lead his team to the Cup final. Like, his overall numbers aren't great. Like, if you look at, you know, save percentage, goals against, it's not unbelievable, but he's got 15 playoff wins. So that, I mean, I don't know what he's going to be next year or the year after that, because we have seen goalies. You look through the history of goalies in the NHL that might pop off a really good rookie year or second year, and then teams kind of figure them out or whatever it is, and then they just fizzle right out.
And to Mark's point, the personality that he has, he seems like a flame out kind of guy.
He could.
I mean, this whole thing about, you know, basically trying to bump Tuukka and challenge Tuukka physically.
Yeah, like, what are you doing?
I mean, Tuukka's getting run in the cage and not responding.
Right.
Do you think you giving him an elbow as he's skating next to him
you.
Is...
Yeah, that's not going
to... Oh, well, no, I'll never stop that next shot.
Nah, I mean, it's not going to throw him off. Tuukka's just too much in the zone. Like, I don't know what would possibly throw him off right now. Because he can allow a goal or two, but it's not anything that seems like it's going to really affect him long term. Whereas Binnington, you've already seen him a couple of times now just kind of lose it. I mean, that Carlo goal, I know it took like a weird kind of
bounce,
but still, that thing was coming in at 5 miles an hour, and he couldn't stop it.
And Carson Kuhlman's goal was certainly a great snipe.
That was slick.
But it was unscreened from distance. Well,
he was looking right at him. Clean.
And it's like, whoa, that was faster than I expected.
Yeah. Then the Pastrnak goal, that was just an awesome goal by Pastrnak, sort of just the patience, and then just... At that point, you know, Binnington would have made the one save, but he like kind of fake shot it and then just lifted it up, and there was nothing he could do about that.
617-779-7937. John's in New Hampshire. Hey, John, how you doing?
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
First time caller, guys.
Nice. Thank you.
Listen to all the time. Anyway, in 1978, I was working for Don Law Concerts.
Of course.
And we had a Saturday show and a Monday show, and it was Jay Giles' band.
Centerfold, nice.
In between the two shows, on the Monday and the Sunday show, the Sunday day, they had the Celtics and the Bruins both played game sevens, and they both lost.
Oof.
So don't let Jay Giles play anywhere.
Don't let him, or the Celtics.
This week.
Don't let them play either. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, well, he's already gone anyway. But the whole thing came down to when we went to work on the Monday show, all the banners were down.
Oh, my goodness.
Because the game, the show was over.
Right.
I mean, for the two teams. And Jay Giles used to buy.
Sam, do you know where the blow-up music is?
There we go.
I thought he was getting to a point, so I let it go a little too long.
That's all right. It's okay. That could be daunting because you're like, you go with your instincts, Shime. Go with your instincts.
I wanted to blow him up as soon as he mentioned concerts.
As soon as he said 1978, you just hang up on him. That's when you do it. Right there. That was the first words out of his mouth. He tried to butter us up, too. Hey, first time caller. I listen all the time.
Appreciate
that's really sweet.
Yeah, thanks.
Let me take you back to 1978. No, let's not do that. Can we check him, by the way? Is that even true that those two teams played both game sevens on the same day?
In 78. We'll look at it.
Well, we're efforting.
Yeah, we're on it.
Yeah, our crack staff's on it.
So he was talking about the banners coming down.
They took all the banners down?
Well, I got to give Mike Lynch credit for a little shade being thrown yesterday.
Mm-hmm. What did he say?
On Twitter, he posted a video, and he was going back and forth, and he said, "These are rafters without banners. There's not a single banner
in St. Louis, in that
arena." And, you know, the whole idea here is maybe you need to win something first.
Yeah, before you start posting it on your newspaper and everything else. Yeah, they haven't won anything, despite, you know, some of their best efforts down there in St. Louis.
I fully expect, and I'm not even, you know, trying to be an alarmist here.
Yeah.
Just based on how the Blues have played the entire playoffs, not just this series. They're the first team in NHL history, by the way, to have multiple players suspended for a Stanley Cup final.
Is that right?
No team has ever had more than one ever
suspended. So in a Stanley Cup final,
they've already had two.
They're the first team to have two?
Ever. And
that's so fitting. That's perfect.
Oh, yeah.
That is absolutely perfect.
I mean, we saw how they played against San Jose.
Yeah.
We've had firsthand, you know, viewing here of how they've played against the Bruins. I absolutely positively expect somebody, probably David Perron, to run Tuukka Rask on Wednesday.
Absolutely. Tuukka Rask, maybe go after Chara again. You know, because I think especially because Chara is still wearing that thing. He still has a broken jaw, and he played a lot better in game six. So I could see them, you know, going after him a little bit. I mean, that really is a factor. Like, they're a dirty team.
They have no other way that they can win.
Yeah. I was doing I did an event with the street team on Saturday, a sprint event in Saugus.
Nice.
And I was there talking to the people.
Did you get a phone?
No, I didn't get a phone.
Man.
I didn't get a phone, but it was a nice appearance.
Oh, good.
Gentleman comes in, goes, you know, what do you think is going to happen on Sunday? And I said, well, I think the Bruins are going to win. There's going to be a game seven. And he said to me, straight faced, not even a hint of sarcasm, I think the Blues should be thrown out of the league. I said, and he's like, no, they should. He's like, they're a dirty team, and they should be banned from the league. I go, well, I don't know if they're going to go quite that far.
I might be taking it further than I'm willing
to go.
Well,
I go, you know what? So your overall point, though, I agree with. They are a dirty team, and you got to just – and I think you hit on it earlier. I think maybe Cassidy said Backes does provide a layer of toughness, but what is one guy really going to do in that regard?
Against dirty.
Dirty. What are you gonna really do? And it's not the regular season where you say, all right, as soon as it happens, go fight that guy. Go fight that guy. We're gonna try to straighten it out or whatever. That's not gonna happen. So you say, all right, you know what? We're gonna bring in Kuhlman, which was a risk. He hadn't played in a while. Like the guy, like how is he gonna respond? Like,
but hey, it's game six. Speed, much better skill.
Yeah.
That line looked so different with that added speed element. As we were watching the game, I forget if it was Brick or Billy was saying, I really want to see the first regular season game next year between the Bruins and St. Louis, and I want to see Zdeno Chara string somebody out.
Oh, he'll kill somebody.
You know, where Zdeno Chara is not restricted by, I don't want to take a penalty here, we're trying to win a cup, I got to be careful.
Right.
I mean, they are literally punching him in his broken jaw.
Oh, yeah.
Trying to make sure that he can't continue to play.
They feel like a team to me that could be an absolute mess next year, the Blues. Like, they sort of hit lightning in a bottle here. They played well, you know, January on. They've gone on this long run, and I could see them just falling apart next year. But, I mean, all they got to do is win one game. So I feel like
you know, the Bruins are gonna get it done, but listen, I certainly didn't think it was going to be this difficult.
Boston hockey fans for years and years and years have loved good, tough, hard-nosed hockey. We loved the Big Bad Bruins. Cam Neely became a legend. Terry O'Reilly, to this day, is one of the most revered figures in the history of the franchise.
Even 2011 was more of that. You know, well,
Milan Lucic. What they don't appreciate is dirty players.
That's a huge difference.
And a gigantic difference. Yeah. And even at times when Marchand would do things that, you know, frankly, were dirty from time to time.
Yeah.
Bruins fans had a hard time sticking up for him.
No, you didn't like. You don't need to see a slew foot. You don't like that. But like the Torrey Krug takeout of Rob Thomas, perfect,
good,
absolutely
clean,
perfect,
hard hit. No penalty called. No supplementary discipline.
Right, that's exactly what you're looking for. And the Blues, too many times, it's on the other side of it. Like on the one hand, sure, they finish their checks. But how many times is it high to the head, taking elbows and things like that? They sort of. But again, on the flip side of that, they had to at some point look at the roster that they had and say, how do we win? How do we beat Winnipeg, who's more talented than us? How do we beat San Jose, who's more talented than us? I don't know if Dallas is necessarily more talented, but they got a couple of talented guys. How do we beat these teams? And they said, you know what? We got to kind of play dirty. And it's worked for them to this point. Think about it. If they win, you look around the league right now, there are more skilled.
They're going to throw them out of the league if they win.
They are going to ban them from the league. That's on the table, I know, at the owners' meetings.
I don't think that Gary Bettman's even going to give them the cup because they're going to throw them out.
They could. But you look at all the teams in the league right now, wouldn't you say more of them sort of skew skill than they do like physical, certainly dirty, right? And so this is one example. Like you could potentially have your cup-winning team. And this is after, look at recent history. Alexander Ovechkin, he's your champion. Like Sidney Crosby, he's your champion. Like you're propping these guys up. Patrick Kane. And then you're like the Blues, who had two players suspended. They probably could have had two other guys like maybe have a hearing. Like the dirtiest team in the league wins. That I don't think they would be thrilled with.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We continue to broadcast live from the Kirkbray Country Club in Lincoln, Rhode Island. This is the site of WEEI's 7th annual 18 Holes for a Cause, all to benefit the Jimmy Fund. The presenting sponsor is Audi of Warwick, and the reception sponsor is Paul Anderson Drain Cleaning. Now, they've got a whole group that's out on the course right now, and the course is gorgeous.
Oh, it's amazing.
Here in Lincoln. And then there's a whole afternoon session that'll be going out. They've got a reception here at 6 o'clock tonight. Well, we're only going to hang till 2, but then Keith has said he's going to hang.
We'll see what happens.
There's an open bar, I think.
It's right there.
Right
I'm staring
over there.
Right at
So he may have a stop down the hill. You don't know.
It's okay. I'm
an
adult.
And I live 9 miles from here, so you can come to my house. And, you know, I got a spare bedroom if you need it.
I'll take a lift over there. It'll be fine.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We'll get back to the calls with you guys. But first, we've got a trend.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Download the Radio.com app and take WEEI with you wherever you go. Now back to Dale and Keith on WEEI.
We're doing good. You wrote about the reaction immediately. We just talked about it. Reported as a robbery. But as you write, I think these people watched the video. If they've watched the video, this clearly looks like a pointed out attempt at the life of David Ortiz. And the question becomes, Michael, how much will we know? What is the process? How is it different than if this event, say, happened in downtown Boston?
Well, I think we're not going to know anything immediately because if this was a hit, they're going to be drilling him on any information, that this is not going to be an immediate turnaround. He's being interviewed, I presume. If this was a hit, that means there is more than one person involved in all likelihood, maybe multiple people. And it will probably not be an immediate, quick, here's a press conference, here are the charges. If this is something bigger than it certainly, I think as you and Sherry just both noted, this doesn't look like a robbery at all, right? You don't go from behind, shoot the person in the back without interacting with them, unless they interacted before. Now, there's, you know, we're making assessments based on a small video clip, so maybe there's more to the story. We don't know whether Ortiz knows this man. We just don't know a lot of the facts.
It was Michael McCann, the superb sports and law professor, University of New Hampshire, Sports Illustrated, SI.com. He was on this morning with Martin Callahan and Wiggy. I agree with him 100%, by the way. It does not look like a robbery to me, despite what officials in the Dominican continue to say. Yes, I have watched the video, and I know there's been a lot of controversy about, you know, do you want to see the video? Well, in order to have an opinion on whether I think it was a robbery or not, I felt like I had to see it.
Yeah, it was. You feel weird watching it.
Yes,
like, there's no doubt about it. It's obviously insanely graphic, but it's also just like it's very unsettling when you watch it. But I'm with you. I watched it. We're gonna talk about it. You know, and I
couldn't sit here and say, well, obviously it wasn't a robbery.
Yeah, how do you know?
I didn't see it, but having watched the video,
right.
It doesn't look a bit like a robbery. He walks up behind him, shoots him, and takes off.
The one thing that McCann brought up, I guess maybe there's the off chance that there was a confrontation earlier, and
possible.
Then the guy leaves,
yep.
And then comes back like with a gun or whatever. But just from the video alone, it does. It looks like some sort of a hit. And as you're following along, again, everybody's watching the Bruins last night. And then you see on Twitter all these reports, and they have these news stations from the Dominican. And so everything is in Spanish. So you're trying to translate it the best you can, and some of the information you're getting was attempted, like, you know, trying to rob him, and then he got shot in the leg. And then you watch that video, and you're like, well, neither is true. You know,
no.
Like he comes up from behind, so it's back into the abdomen. And then there was also the video of they said they got the guy who did it, and they were, like, beating that guy up. And then you're like, I don't even know. Like, because there are stories like
supposedly
that.
Supposedly it is him. I mean,
yeah.
they kicked the crap out of
yes.
this guy.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, they did. But it's just so scary. Like, that could happen, you know, to David Ortiz just sitting there minding his own business. And now, you know, the guy's in the hospital. He's got to get all these surgeries done. And it's just really scary. And then the fact that, I mean, that video came out minutes after or whatever it was, right? I mean, it didn't seem like it was very long. I was reading through some of those tweets, and then the next thing you know, they're like, oh, here's surveillance video or whatever, and then everybody's sitting there watching the video. So pretty crazy. And as of today, nothing really new since like late last night. Like if you were following this well after the Bruins game, it's basically the same right now.
His assistant, for lack of a better term, I've seen him, and frankly, I don't believe anything I read out of there. I'm just giving you what has been reported so far, because so much has been wrong all along through this thing.
Yeah.
But his business assistant reportedly said that he got out of surgery at about 3:30 this morning. It was obviously more involved than we were initially led to believe, because the first reports, as you said, were he got shot in the leg.
Shot in the leg.
And you assume, okay, as long as he doesn't hit the femoral artery,
yeah.
you know, he'll survive, and, you know, that'll suck, but it'll be all right.
Yeah, then it was
then
shot
you read
in
the stuff, and you watch the video, and it's clearly he didn't get shot in the leg.
No, shot in the back, and then exited through the abdomen, I believe is what they said. And you're
damage
like,
to his colon, to his
yeah.
liver. I mean, there's internal organs in there that obviously don't take well to bullets.
No, and so just extremely scary. I know the Red Sox offered to, send a plane down and get him, right? And they try, you know, maybe bring him back, and if he needs to get anything done in the United States. I don't know what the next step is there for him, but obviously just a terrifying moment.
And it'll sound judgmental, probably because it is. I'm going to go out on a limb here and suggest that if David Ortiz is being cared for at Beth Israel or Mass General,
yeah, no, that's
he's
going to
get better medical care than what he's going to get in the Dominican Republic.
Yeah. But I wonder, like, what was going on? Like, what was this guy? Was it just, hey, that's David Ortiz, and I'm going to go up and shoot David Ortiz? Was there something prior? Did these two know each other at all? Like, what is going on there? Like, that is insane.
David Ortiz is revered. I mean, David Ortiz is revered in Boston.
Yeah, right.
Multiply it by 10 in the Dominican Republic, and that's how big a figure he is.
Right.
We're talking about a guy who has an open-door policy for the president of the country. Mm. The president of the country says, David, you come in whenever you want to, and we're happy to talk with you. He does so much for, you know, medical facilities for children there. He's got his charitable foundation that has raised so many millions of dollars. I mean, I can't imagine anybody hates David Ortiz in the Dominican Republic.
No, I know. And like, sitting in such a public place, there's a lot of people around, and you would just think that, well, I mean, I guess there's no place is safe, right? I mean, that's the one thing that we hear about all the time, and you look at all these different circumstances, and it doesn't matter where you are that something could happen. And so that was just really scary stuff.
How are you, pal?
Look who it is. Look who it is. Grab a headset.
Pull up a seat. What do you say?
We have the same hairdresser.
That's right. Lenny Clark joins us
That's right. There are two celebrities on this list that I saw. There's Tommy Curran and you. Stifter, so we're happy to have you join us.
So we have Lenny joining us now.
I should have gone through the proper channels and asked if it would be okay to be on.
This is going
to
be all right.
But you, best hockey announcer there ever was. And I love Brick. You know, I play golf with Brick. But yeah, I got it. No one knows more. Well, you know. You know, I hate to toot your horn, but you've done you're the only guy in this town that's done every single professional sport
so far.
Done them well.
That's right.
Well,
there'll be others, I'm sure, who will follow.
Oh, you're bringing Keith along.
That's right. Bringing me along
and
slowly.
I love your hair.
Oh, thank you. I got a fresh cut.
As long as very good. We have
same barber.
The same barber. Yeah. I went to high school with.
Are secrets being told? I mean, can you trust the barber to keep
I heard stuff Seriously. About you I didn't know.
That might be true. So do you think they win this thing on Wednesday?
My God, I can't believe it's going to happen here. Yes! Oh, my God. They're filthy. They're dirty. St. Louis.
Aren't they a dirty team?
And I can't believe the control the Bruins have.
I know, how they don't lose their minds.
All right, that was a dirt. Torrey Krug is about this high.
I know.
And that guy is twice my size, and he's beating up. And Krug is and the rocks. These guys are rocks. And the mental capacity for dealing with that is, I can't believe it.
We were saying earlier, the first regular season game next year between the Bruins and the Blues, we want Zdeno Chara to unload on somebody. Some guy.
How tough is he?
Oh, you know, broken jaw.
He's the oldest guy in the league, isn't he? The oldest?
Yeah.
Oldest guy in the league, broken jaw, and they're just outright just punching him in the face. I mean, you know, and the funny thing is, you know, you do all these celebrity events. The best pro celebrities are the hockey players. You know, they're the greatest, easiest.
Yeah. Nice,
and then football, and then baseball, and then
basketball a little bit later on.
A little lower
on your list.
They don't want to know. They don't want anything to do with you. You know?
Now, the big St. Louis, the celebrities there, they've been getting a lot of FaceTime. Your John Hamm's and your Pam in the office.
I've worked with John Hamm.
All right.
I love John Hamm.
Good guy?
Oh, yeah. Fantastic. Okay. And unfortunately, funny.
That's not fair.
He comes in, he sits down. We're shooting the Larry David movie, you know, and Clear History.
Yeah.
And he comes in and he sits down at the card table. I go, oh, look at you. Every woman in the place goes, oh, a couple of guys. Okay.
So he sits down. To judge. Yeah, that's fine.
All right. Hey, listen, you know, I got my own problems. I'm married. So John says to me, Lenny, I'm so happy to see you. And I go, good to see you, John. I go, No, it's not.
It really is. I'm lying
to you. You're tall. Yeah, your movie star looks. You're handsome.
Not fair.
You got a giant unit. But what happened? And he said, how'd you know that? And the girls in wardrobe, because my
they would know.
It's part of the job.
But you're not funny. No. 30 seconds later, he says something that is so funny. He would spit up a drink. I said, it's not fair.
Yeah, it's not.
But he's great. But
okay. But
Pam from The Office, wow. I like her better on The Office. I like her better in The Office than real life.
And you didn't like her then.
No, I hated that show. No. I don't know why.
Didn't like The Office.
Nah, I wasn't
really?
A big Office fan. No,
okay.
No. You know, I watched the original with the other guy.
Yeah.
Know, and I don't know. I mean, everyone
so loved. What sitcom do you like? So if you don't like The Office, like, did you like Seinfeld? Were you at least a Seinfeld guy?
Oh, obviously. Yeah. I love Seinfeld.
All right.
That was pretty.
Curb, so. Obviously.
Curb,
yeah. Yeah, okay. All right. Yeah.
So we only seem to have comedian celebrities. We got Dennis, got you, we got Michael J. Fox, we got Woody Harrelson. We only have comedians.
Right.
We don't have drama.
Well, we're funny. We're funny.
That's true. That's part of it.
And look, anyone can do drama.
Right. I mean,
be funny. Try to make people laugh. Right?
Yeah, it's a good point.
Come on. It's like, oh, God. Because I'm in that City on the Hill. That debuts there. And I have a serious role.
Ooh.
And I mean, I'm 50 minutes into an hour-long show, but I'm in it. I made the cut.
He's in there.
And then I was in Smilf. single mother. I'd like to see how good.
Yeah,
I am
well,
around
I know.
You.
Well done. Am, right? It's self-editing,
and that got canceled for some sexual improprieties.
Well,
nothing
well,
to listen. Do with me.
No, I mean, it's not your fault. No.
And they wanted me to have a sex scene with Rosie O'Donnell, and I love Rosie, but sure. I said I don't know if that good an actor. You know, Rosie,
you got to put your foot down on that one. He said, "Listen, that
I said, I know. Well, I started getting undressed. Oh. They said, "Will you do a sex scene?" I started taking my. Sure. What are you doing? I go. I really need the job. You know? I gotta make my insurance. Oh, I want my sackhead. I want my sackhead. That sackhead, you're gonna make like 30 grand to get insurance. I'll be doing commercials for, you know.
So are you going to the game Wednesday?
Yes, I am.
Oh,
yes.
Good. Hopefully you get some screen time.
I've called in every. Well, you know the whole thing is.
What's the yeah?
I'd be more than willing to do anything, but I'm there for the team.
First intermission, they could use you. I mean, they're interviewing Pam. I feel like we get you on there doing an interview. You could actually talk about the game a little bit.
Now, Pam's not on TV right now.
No, yeah, she's not.
I have two shows that are currently there running. There you go. Active shows.
Plug
those? Yeah, that's not bad.
And you're here to help this nice cause for the Jimmy Fund, as you always are.
Well, listen, you know, I learned from the greats. I learned from the greats, Dale. Listen, you guys always give back. And the Jimmy Fund, I mean, when you see the kids, you know, and we've all gone. And
we were just there the other day.
We were last week at the
Jimmy Fund clinic.
And you know what? No one knows about it. You do it. That's the way to do it. You know, you're really classy guys. You go there on your own for the right reason, you know.
We met a little kid named Cam, not named for Cam Neely, I'm told.
Yeah.
But a little kid named Cam who was firing baseballs at us.
Oh, he was chucking balls around, yeah. It was fantastic.
Well, it seems a lot like Cam when Cam threw that water ball.
I
loved it.
That was great. Oh, it was awesome.
I love the energy, yeah. You know. And I love this team. I mean, three local guys on the team. What are the odds of that? You know?
I know.
I don't know if you've heard Charlie Coyle's from Weymouth.
I don't know if you've heard. Yeah, he's local. Yeah, local
guy. Turn around somebody. Hey, Weymouth, I know this guy. Yeah. I was at the hospital in Norwood, you know, just doing a test thing. Mm-hmm. And the nurse in there says, "Do you know Chris Wagner?" I said, "Yes, I do." She said, "Everybody here knows Chris Wagner." I was like, okay everybody knows him.
That's good.
Good to see you, Lenny. Thanks for coming by.
Thanks for having me
on. Pleasure.
It's so nice to finally meet you.
I know it.
Staley's
a great guy.
Staley Scott's our Bob, and I tell him all the time. He says, "You just missed Keith." I go, I love listening on the radio. You guys do a great job.
Thanks, pal. Good to see you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Lenny Clark joining us. Dale and Keith, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's LYST, or download the List app on the App Store today.
Rocking the midday with Dan Arnold.
What the bleep is wrong with you people?
And Rich Keefe.
Stop talking when I'm talking!
What you say, who you say it to?
On WEEI.
Let me just give you as much information as we have up to this point concerning David Ortiz. You all know that he got shot last night in the Dominican Republic in Santo Domingo. He was hit by a bullet from behind on his right side. It is reported by the medical team there that he experienced limited blood loss, stable condition, but part of his colon was removed. He also has suffered injuries to his gallbladder and limited damage to his liver.
Jeez.
According to Marley Rivera of ESPN Deportes, speaking to a representative for Ortiz, said his final surgery ended at 3:30 this morning. He'll remain in intensive care for 24 hours. The Red Sox are reportedly preparing some sort of a med flight from there back to Boston so that he can continue to get medical treatment here, which I don't think it's going too far out on a limb to suggest it would be better than that.
Yeah.
According to CBS, they report that another suspect was being sought. Now, the video that many people have seen of the guy who did the shooting, supposedly, mm-hmm. and they had kicked the crap out of the guy.
They had gotten to him.
But he was reportedly, now it was in Spanish, but I heard a guy this morning tell Mutton Callahan, because he was a Spanish-speaking person, he said what he kept saying was, "No pistolo, I don't have a gun."
Okay.
So, you know, they're thinking, okay, if he doesn't have a gun, then somebody else must have a gun.
Right, or he just dropped it or something. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what it was.
But
I mean,
according to CBS, they are seeking another suspect in
and
this thing.
And nobody's buying the robbery angle,
I'm not.
Right? Like, nobody
not
is.
Based on the video I've seen.
Right, not at all. And so it just doesn't seem like Ortiz even saw this guy because Ortiz was sitting down, and then this guy
talking
comes
to someone right. there. I think the guy that he was sitting with was a TV reporter.
Okay.
From the Dominican. And supposedly, this TV reporter also got hit in the leg.
Yeah.
But he started pursuing this alleged shooter almost immediately, despite the fact that he had been shot. The suspect has been identified as Eddie Felice Garcia.
Mm-hmm.
He'd been transferred to police custody. Probably a good thing because...
Oh, he was going to get killed.
Oh.
They were going to kill him.
This Garcia, according to the newspaper down there, has had a drug trafficking past. Now, I don't know, you know.
I don't know.
Is this a guy who was strung out on stuff? And
right, could be. Like you don't know, because that's what I was, not that it really matters as far as, you know, David Ortiz is concerned, but, like, what is the motive here? Because, again, not buying the robbery thing, so what else would it be? And again, so no new details on that, or if maybe he was working with somebody is what it sounds like, too, and I don't know what their plan was, but it just seemed just really chaotic and scary watching it all unfold last night.
So those are the details that we have mm-hmm. up to the moment, and I guess most importantly, he is still in intensive care, but is reportedly at least stabilized
right.
at this point,
right.
but has suffered damage to some internal organs, his gallbladder, his liver. He's reportedly had part of his colon removed. I mean, bullets do a lot of damage when they get rattling around in there.
Yeah, and again, the first report was he got shot in the leg, and then that was quickly updated about 5 minutes later, and then with the video on top of it. So that's sort of what we know about David Ortiz, but just really scary stuff. And again, you're sitting there, I forget like what period it was in, but you're watching the Bruins game, and then you're checking Twitter to see what people are saying about the Bruins and the Blues and what's going on there, and then all of a sudden it just gets flooded with all these updates and people retweeting these news stations from the Dominican, and you're trying to follow along, and it seemed pretty surreal.
And it seemed, right off the bat, the initial reports came from that TV station in the Dominican.
Yeah.
They had video
right.
outside of the club with the ambulance there. So it was pretty clear this was not a fake report.
No, not at all. And again, some of the stuff may have been lost in translation a little bit too. Because I know people saying, oh, there's misreporting.
Oh,
it's like, well, maybe it just needs a little bit different.
Strange.
You'd
see tweets from the Dominican. You hit that translate this tweet button.
Yeah.
And then you'd say, man, this doesn't help me at all.
No, it doesn't help me. And my 5 years of Spanish was lost on it. I knew something bad happened to Ortiz. I was able to decipher that, but not much else.
So obviously the hope here is they can get him back to Boston as quickly as they can.
Yep.
They can get him into, you know, some advanced medical treatment here, and hopefully, you know, everything's going to be fine and he'll go on from here. But it was scary last night.
It was just insane.
I actually, and this is way down the list of things that matter,
mm-hmm.
I actually thought that for game 7 on Wednesday night, you know, he would be a guy who'd be a legitimate guy.
We thought about it.
The fan banner captain, you know, beloved in Boston.
Yeah.
World champion, all that stuff. He'd be a guy that fans would go crazy
wouldn't
for.
Wouldn't make sense, yeah.
That's no longer an option,
no,
obviously.
No.
So there's really only one option left.
It'd be the one guy. That would be a certain quarterback. I assume it's going to be him. I feel confident that it will be him, by the way. I think it's him.
Is he here?
Yeah, I think so.
Because I know...
If not, you can fly him in. You'd do it.
I mean, I guess Bill Belichick today called off the rest of the practices for OTAs.
Oh, okay.
Said, you know, we'll see at the beginning of training
we're
camp.
We're the best. Yeah, we can't be any better than this.
So, I mean...
I think it'll be him.
I think you're missing one, Keith.
Who am I missing?
No! You? Shake that thing!
Oh, good point. I would like Bear Force One to be back in the mix. These poor guys, they don't even play the stuff at the Garden. It's really a shame.
They don't care.
Why are they ignoring Bear Force One? They're going to win the cup because of Bear Force One.
It was JetBlue who named the plane that.
It was a nice-looking plane. Had the Bruins logo on there.
Very sharp-looking
plane. Bear Force One? Yeah, I mean, I want these guys, but I've come to the realization it won't be, sadly.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We'll get back to the calls with you guys in just a few minutes. We're broadcasting live from the Kirkbrake Country Club here in Lincoln, Rhode Island. It is the 7th annual WEEI 18 Holes for a Cause, all to benefit the Jimmy Fund. A whole bunch of golfers went out this morning, and this place is spectacular. Whole group goes out this afternoon. Dinner reception here at 6 o'clock tonight. We'll be here until 2. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio WEEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.